You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
$5 million a month. $5 million a month that we know of. And no, I'm not talking about Tom Cruise. I'm not talking about some famous star. Not even talking about the U.S. president. I'm talking about possibly the most misogynistic person I have ever encountered. Discussing tactics on how to lure sex trafficking victims. These texts, messages, and more have now been leaked. And it's all spewing from the empire built by Andrew Tate. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and SiriusXM 111. How is it happening that this guy is not behind bars? We put R. Kelly behind bars. We put NXIVM behind bars. We put other sex attackers behind bars. He is not only walking free and posting videos of him at extravagant restaurants toasting champagne. He's not only walking free, but his business goes on. A sex trafficker, according to Ellie, law enforcement. How is that happening? Should we just give up and lay down and let sex traffickers roll right over us? H-E-L-L-N-O. First of all, take a listen to this.
Most people know Andrew Tate for his online content, which has been called misogynistic. But what most people don't know is that he also runs this secretive all-male society, the War Room, which he says is a kind of self-help society that helps you become a better man. It costs £6,000 a year to join. What we uncovered is that actually within the War Room, they're actually teaching men methods for grooming women into online sex work. And we've identified from the leaked messages you referred to at least 45 potential victims of this grooming method.
Breaking news, disgraced influencer Andrew Tate has been indicted and will face charges of rape, human trafficking, and forming a criminal gang to sexually exploit women. According to officials, three others will also be charged in connection to human trafficking, including Andrew's brother, Tristan. A spokesperson for the Tate brothers confirmed their indictment to NBC News. Both brothers deny all allegations. The two were remanded into custody back in December before being released under house arrest in March.
I can't stop someone from being misogynistic. That's within them. But I tell you this much, we can stop sex trafficking. And what's so amazing is he's not trafficking women in secret. They're not in the back of massage parlors and nail salons with their papers stolen from them, unless they have sex with strangers and then their pimp making the money. This is not some 13 or 14 year old girl that has been stolen and she's being hidden in some secret apartment somewhere in LA, far, far away from home, being beaten and drugged. This is right in our face. This is happening right online. I really don't even know where to start. Take a listen to our friends at BBC.
Prosecutors have filed formal charges against the controversial influencer Andrew Tate, his brother Tristan, and two associates. The charges include rape, human trafficking, and forming an organized crime group, as well as illegally accessing a computer system and violence against one of the alleged victims. The indictment court says that at the beginning of 2021, the four defendants formed an organized criminal group to commit human trafficking in the United States and Britain.
We know there are seven alleged victims who were apparently allegedly recruited by false promises of love and marriage by the two Tate brothers.
Love and marriage? My rear end? That is not what this is. This is not about love and marriage. You were hearing from our friends at BBC as well as NBC. This is not about love and marriage at all. Guys, before I go to senior investigative reporter for DailyMail.com, Caitlin Becker, joining us, I want you to hear our cut 15 from the dangerous rise of Andrew Tate. BBC, listen.
In the leaked messages that we got access to, we were able to see that up to 45 women were recruited into working on webcam, potentially groomed using this method without their knowledge. We saw specific examples of men grooming specific women, and in the documentary we spoke to two of those women, one in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and one on the west coast of the US, who both alleged that they personally were groomed by senior members of Andrew Tate's war room.
That's not all. Take a listen to our cut 10. Lucy Williamson, BBC.
The prosecution also says that women were forced by the defendants to make pornographic content online, and alleges that some women did not control the money they made and were fined for crying on camera or for not working hard enough. A spokeswoman for the Tate brothers said that they vehemently denied the serious allegations against them.
Joining me in All-Star panel to make sense of what we know right now, why is this guy still walking free? Not walking free, but taunting authorities, seemingly that are useless and stopping sex trafficking, by Andrew Tate. Straight out to senior investigative reporter for the DailyMail.com, Caitlin Becker. Caitlin, thank you for being with us. 45 known alleged victims. There are actually victims in multiple countries. That's not unusual. Do you remember the initial search for Natalie Holloway? We were us, not only us, but many other journalists and law enforcement were looking at the islands nearest to Aruba, including the Netherlands Antilles, thinking she had been removed from the island for sex trafficking. That is a part of sex trafficking. You remove the victim from their home, from their money, from their cell phone, from their driver's license, their ID, and they're stuck with you and nowhere to go. And they're being beaten and drugged, and they're taken away from their home. The fact that this conspiracy to sex traffic is in many countries is hard for some people to believe, but this is the way sex trafficking works. Who is Andrew Tate, Caitlin?
Well, Nancy, it's the way sex trafficking works, but it's also the way the internet works. And Andrew Tate's claim to fame is on the internet. I mean, he had a short-lived stint on British Big Brother, but really he became known in online circles for being kind of the king of misogyny and teaching men how to be men, which involved subjugating and harassing women. He had very popular online courses. He had one that called something Hustlers, and that was more of his public one. And then this war room that you've been hearing about was his private one, but he also had very popular social media accounts where he propagated this type of bullying and misogyny and, as you heard, essentially allegedly grooming. And he garnered thousands and thousands and thousands of followers. And for War Room particularly, you had to pay the equivalent of what is about $8,000 to join. So he's then profiting off of this and corralling like-minded men to listen to the types of sort of vile information that he's spewing. So the conspiracy goes far and wide. You not only have Andrew and Tristan Tate, the brothers who were at the head of this, that's sort of the head of the snake, but you also have all of those war room members. So you can imagine how far this can go. I mean, we have alleged victims. There are seven in the indictment, and they are from all over the world, several in Europe, at least one in the United States. All of their identities are being protected. We are also hearing potentially 45 others from these leaked Telegram messages that the BBC obtained. But Nancy, those messages are only for 1 year. You have to imagine, in 1 year, if there's 45 potential victims, I can't even fathom how many that could be if we add in all of the other years that we don't have the messages for.
Guys, this isn't just a single instance. When assets were seized of this guy, of course, now all that's over and he's walking free, making money again. Over $300 million, US dollars, was seized. That is the tip of the iceberg with how many people this guy is controlling and how many women are being subjected to sex trafficking, forced pornography, being raped, being beaten. In his chats, screenshots, purported messages from the, quote, war room, Tate describes women as, quote, targets and assets, and explains how to isolate and manipulate women. In one message, this woman hater describes how he isolated one woman until she, quote, lost her support networks at home, and he kept her in his compound, quote, and this tastes like a dirt sandwich to me. The real goal is for her to agree to never go anywhere without me, not even her hometown. I need her working. This is from his screenshots. He appears to seek help from his associates to force one woman to post sexually explicit content on OnlyFans. He tells his followers he'll be making the play tonight. Since she moved to his compound, she's been fed, but nothing else. These are his words. She's broke. She can't go home. She can't leave the house. Man, I sound almost evil. Guys, this is such a huge operation. Take a listen to our cut to Lucy Williamson.
The charge of human trafficking is an umbrella charge, and within that, there are several counts against each of the four defendants. We're also getting some information from the organized crime unit about the assets that have been seized, properties, cars, luxury watches, but also more than $300 million in cryptocurrency. And we're told that there are separate charges that are still under investigation that may be the subject of a separate indictment in the future.
Think about it. How many times have I told a jury, don't turn away? Think about what's happening around you. Think about these facts. Young women being forced into sex. Raped. Think about it. Do you have a daughter? A mother, a sister, think about her being forced into sex, isolated from her family, to the tune of this guy making at least $300 million.
Nancy, may I?
I hear someone jumping in. Who is it?
Nancy, this is Dawn Schiller. Hi.
Guys, this is Dawn Schiller joining us, training director for the LA County Project with Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. She's the best-selling author of The Road Through Wonderland, Surviving John Holmes. Dawn, please jump in. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. I also call myself a lived experience expert, and that's what we do when we go out and teach and train around human trafficking. So when I hear the word grooming a lot, what this really applies to is recruitment. Grooming is recruitment under the umbrella of what is human trafficking. And luring somebody in on their vulnerabilities based off of needs for love and attention, whatever that is, because they didn't have it at home, is really a classic form of recruitment into where the victim is then now kept in by force, fraud, and coercion. And coercion is all types of things. The fraud is this promise of love that never turns into love. It's always like having to force you into doing something. But all of that is really, really familiar.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Guys, I'm looking online at Andrew Tate's leaked text. Wait a minute. This is about maximum difficulty you experience in the business. If we all agree on that, I'll give you a play-by-play of what I try. I do this for every girl I get to work, if you guys see the value. You guys can use your bottom bitch to do whatever G is doing. You are never going back to your hometown, even to visit without me. You understand? That is part of his technique. These are his words, not mine. It goes on and on and on. One defendant accused of raping one woman twice using intimidation, constant surveillance, and claims that the victims were in debt. Take a listen to our cut 8 from BBC.
Prosecutors outlined the testimony and the evidence against Andrew Tate. It includes transcriptions of text and audio messages, which appear to show how the alleged trafficking operation was managed and the apparent coercion, control and abuse of women by Mr. Tate and his co-defendants. In one transcribed exchange, Andrew Tate appears to coerce an alleged victim into group sex using abusive language. His brother Tristan is also quoted in prosecution transcripts, allegedly talking about slaving women for 10 to 12 hours a day.
Slaving women from 10 to 12 hours a day. Okay, to Dr. Joni Johnston, forensic psychologist and private investigator, author of Serial Killers, 101 Questions True Crime Fans Ask. Dr. Joni, thank you for being with us. Explain what's happening here.
Well, you know, I think the scale or the potential scale of what is going on is mind-boggling, but the actual techniques that we're hearing about, I mean, how many times have we heard these, Nancy? You know, this isolating people from their loved ones, from people they care about, the abuse, the coercion. I mean, we've heard this in a million different ways. It's the way to isolate and control your victims. And it's something we've heard over and over again.
Guys, you think this hasn't happened before? It's happened so many times before. Sex cults. And it's always women and children who are subjugated, who are raped, who are sodomized, who are forced into peeping out for other guys. Take a listen to our cut 19. We're talking about Nexium. Listen.
Allison Mack is due in court facing sex trafficking charges after being accused of involvement in helping to recruit women as alleged sex slaves for a secret sorority within an organization called Nexium, based out of Albany, New York. Mack gave a testimonial for the group.
When I first came, I had on the surface something that seemed to be like the perfect life or a pretty good life.
Keith Ranieri, the leader of Nexium, is facing charges including sex trafficking and forced labor conspiracy related to that secret sorority.
Cheryl McCollum joining me, founder and director of the Cold Case Research Institute. You can find her at coldcasecrimes.org. Cheryl, thank you for being with us. Nexium is a U.S.-based sex cult where people were actually allowed being branded and beaten right here under our nose, including celebrities. The only thing different here with Andrew Tate is he's rubbing our face in it. It's right here on the internet. He's going out to the most expensive restaurant he can and videoing his celebration after getting to walk free on this.
Nancy, I think some terminology here is going to be important.
Terminology?
Yes.
My rear end, how is terminology going to put this guy behind bars? Terminology, what does that matter to me?
Because they need to understand who he is. They keep using words like
grooming.
Who's
they? Who's they?
Today on the show, people have said grooming. That implies over time. Listen to me very carefully. There are three types of pimp. There's the CEO pimp, there's the Romeo pimp, and there's the gorilla pimp. The CEO pimp is all about money. He only cares about money. She's an object. He's going to make money. He owns her. The Romeo pimp may tell her, hey, you're my wife, you're my woman, put his name on her neck, tattoo her as property. But she believes they're together. Then you've got the gorilla pimp. He's going to bust you in your face, shoot you up with heroin, and you are a sex slave in 15 minutes. And here's the thing. The gentleman that is doing all of this, he can go from a CEO pimp to a gorilla pimp or a Romeo pimp to a gorilla pimp. And that's what you're seeing here. He promised them love and marriage, and the next thing they know, they're beaten, laying on the cement floor, working 8 hours a day with no break.
And when you say working 8 hours a day, what you mean is enduring rape after rape after rape after rape after rape. And the pimp gets the money. I hear somebody jumping in. Who is it?
Yeah. And this is Dawn again, and I want to just kind of push back a little bit on those three categories of what a pimp looks like, because an exploiter can be anybody. It can be a professional, it could be a family member, it could be anybody. All right, it depends on the situation, and it depends on their opportunity.
Okay, you know what? I hear you, Dawn. You say potato, I say potato. I get it. You and Cheryl and everybody else, you're all right, but you can use whatever names you want. This guy needs to be behind bars. He does not need to be out at an Italian restaurant toasting Cristal. He is rubbing our noses in the fact that he has a sex trafficking organization. To you, Caitlin Becker, senior investigative reporter, DailyMail.com, could you please explain? Obviously, I'm not doing a good job, and I accept that. You can do much better than me explaining what kind of hate and vitriol Andrew Tate spews. What does he say?
Well, first and foremost, Nancy, just to sort of put the pimp question to bed, sorry for the really poorly timed pun there too, he himself had a course called PhD in the war room. This is where the conversations that you were reading came from. And PhD stands for pimpin' hoes degree. So he was doing this very much in plain sight.
You know what? You are so polite. I am not. PhD, pimpin' hoes degree. That's what he calls women, ladies, whores. Pimping whores degree. Now, if those were just words, I can't prosecute somebody for words unless they're terroristic threats. But these aren't just words. Where do you think he's getting $300 million plus more? Women are being raped and subjugated and trafficked because of Andrew Tate's cult-like members that he creates. Go ahead, please, Caitlin Becker.
Well, on top of that, Nancy, with the money, he essentially ran a pyramid scheme with his Hustlers University. That was his more public platform. It was $50 a month, and he essentially gave people advice on how to be a better man and how to get wealthy and how to control women, and then he would have those members go and recruit other members. So he's running this sort of pyramid scheme on one side that I think at one point had something like over 100,000 subscribers in addition to this other war room, which was certainly more nefarious. And we know from those leaked text messages that they spoke about women in just the most degrading terms. And they spoke about actions with women, about how they wanted to basically enslave them, how they wanted them to not have any control, like you said, very cult-like, very much cult-like, not have any control over their finances, not be able to control what they did, what they wore, what they eat, who they saw, and also separate them from their family. So those are sort of the actionable things that he's accused of doing. But what it comes down to is he had a lot of these women allegedly performing online on something like OnlyFans, which is another subscription-based service, and different kinds of pornography sites, which are other subscription-based services. So he would allegedly get the money in from that while forcing these women for 10, 12 hours a day to perform these sex acts against their will. And these can be done anywhere because everything is online.
Cheryl McCollum, I need you right now to help me explain. Then I'm going to go to our other all-star guest. First of all, a renowned international attorney is joining us, Greg Algren, and Lee Reber, incredible forensic detective. Cheryl, I'm not making it clear, I don't think. I need you to help me. I cannot expect everyone in this room or everyone listening right now to understand the outrage that I'm feeling. I think you have to go. And you have to either be a sex assault victim yourself, which guess what? You'd be really surprised about the people you know that are sex assault victims that have never mentioned it. You'd be very surprised. Unless you are a sex assault victim or have worked with sex assault victims, or you have gone and you have seen for yourself the lives of these women in the back of the nail salon, in the back of the massage parlors, in the apartments, the houses where they are beaten and drugged and raped by multiple men a day. And their lives are torn apart and they are never the same. The beatings, the humiliations, these women, these girls just go numb. And while I often say, yeah, you can go on, you can go forward in their life, yeah, you can. But they are forever wounded. Their psyche is forever messed up. Help me, Cheryl. I can't describe the stench, the smell, the anguish, the numbness that these women are living through. Right now, while we're talking about which word to use, they're being raped and sodomized and beaten right now, Cheryl.
Nancy, I think you're doing a beautiful job, but I know for us on the street level in law enforcement, it is so difficult when you find a location and you kick that door in and you see somebody that's about 12 years old and they're scared to death to come to you. They're scared to death to talk. They will not give the person's name up. They will not tell what's been happening. They don't want to be reunited with their families. Everything in their life is upside down. And when you're talking about trying to help somebody and, you know, bring them back home and get them to a place where they can maybe even go back to school, it's almost impossible.
Now, Cheryl, hold on. I want to talk about grown women.
Okay.
And yes, everything you just said was right. Yeah. But these women, it's like the ladies that I work with at the Battered Women's Center, they're so beaten and beaten down and drugged, and it's horrible. I mean, think about it.
It's not much different for us if she's 21 or 35. Everything has been flipped for her. The paranoia is real. The drugs they were giving them is real. The beatings are real. So you are so afraid to go against that person. It doesn't matter what somebody in law enforcement says, what somebody in your family says. You believe this person that's been beating you, that's been drugging you, that's been sexually assaulting you, is still in control of you, even if they've been taken to jail.
I think I hear Lee Reber joining me. Lee, is that you? Who am I hearing?
This is Dawn Schiller again. I don't think I am a survivor of all of that. That is exactly what I went through. I went through that with John Holmes. I went through that with almost 6 years of being hidden, being beaten, being addicted to drugs, being forced into prostitution, being forced into crime. I did all of that. I know that trauma is a life sentence. So I feel you and I hear you on that on a big level, on a big level. And I do care about these women and I understand what they're going through. What he's doing, I agree with you 100%, is absolutely egregious. That he's just throwing it in people's faces is even more insulting to survivors and to victims who are still out there scared to death to speak up. I want to speak for them and I do speak for them. I lived that. I know exactly what it feels like. You don't know you're a victim when you are coming out of that. You've been brainwashed into believing that you did it to yourself, that you consented to all of that. That's part of the tactics that they use. That's part of the way that these women are trapped. I do care for them, and I can thank you for caring for them as well. I think that's important to hear. But I also wanted to let you know, because I didn't think it was heard before, that I am a survivor of all of these atrocities and more.
And I don't know how anybody like you, like me, like Cheryl, like all of us on this panel can sit back and, I mean, it could drive you crazy. Because while you're having your morning coffee or your tea or driving your children to school, this is happening to these ladies. I want you to hear everybody on the panel. Greg Algren is joining us, as well as Lee Reber. Greg, high-profile international lawyer with the U.S.-MX Law Group. Listen to this. More of the messages and the misogynistic hate spewed by this alleged sex trafficker. This is in his war room. Instructs members to, quote, punish victims, that would be women, for transgressions by having her get our name tattooed on her. One group leader, called a general, describes how he hit a woman in the head with her own keyboard when she complained about something. The woman who worked for him then went in the room and worked 7 hours without a break. It goes on and on and on about how to beat and control women to perform pornographic acts, group sex, many online, many on screen. Greg Algren joining us. Greg, a lot of what I know from these alleged messages of Andrew Tate's, I can't bring myself to repeat on the air. But let me ask you, what can the U.S. do about it? Because there is There are so many victims here, I believe, including one victim whose name has somehow been leaked, and all these a-holes working for Tate or working under Tate have actually started trolling her and sending this woman death threats. I mean, what are we going to do about it, and what can we do about it?
Sure. So the situation is just, it's so outrageous that it cries out for legal accountability. And I think, eventually it has to catch up with all of them in a permanent way, because Andrew Tate is a citizen by birth of the United States. And so he can flee the country, but he can't lose that citizenship. And that means the U.S., with its network of mutual legal assistance treaties, is always going to have an interest. Perhaps, it's a question of sort of capturing the attention of law enforcement, but the U.S. has the means to catch up with him wherever he is and ensure there's some legal accountability. So it needs to happen. A lot of times it's very, very slow. It's bureaucratic, but it's a process that is, it can be virtually impossible to escape from once it gets started. So hopefully we'll see sooner rather than later that legal accountability. There's a structure for it. It just needs to be engaged.
I don't understand why the U.S. is sitting on its thumbs. Got any insight into that, Greg?
No, I don't. But, a lot of times there's a great deal of legal work that's going on that is, it's sealed. It's off the record. It's not public. And, perhaps once arrest warrants are issued, once arrests are made or initial pleas are made, that stuff becomes public. I would think that there's stuff going on behind the scenes. For example, the U.S. and Romania have a mutual legal assistance treaty that goes back nearly 20 years. I think the machinery has probably been engaged, and there's stuff at work that just simply isn't public yet.
I hope you're right. I pray that you're right.
Stories with Nancy Grace.
Greg Algren is joining us, guys, renowned international attorney. I want you to hear this. Caitlin Becker joining us, senior reporter, dailymail.com. Andrew Tate, quote, told rape victim he would get her pregnant, lock her away, allegedly find webcam workers that started crying during sex acts on webcam, and tried to coerce them into group sex. And then they started crying. And so he punished them. This is his business that is making $5 million a month. One victim claims Tate tried to force her to have group sex and said, "Shut up, whore," when she tried to object. There are hundreds and hundreds of pages of reported testimony and evidence verbally, physically abusing these women. One woman tells prosecutors Tate, now 36, would rape her while holding her head so she couldn't move and threatened to get her pregnant. I mean, it goes on and on and on. He would take her clothes and shoes away from her and continue to beat her. "Shut up, whore. You will do as I say." I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I'm reading you only portions of what I know. Caitlin Becker, there are U.S. victims. What is wrong with U.S. prosecutors? What are the feds doing?
As you just heard, I don't know. As you just heard, I don't know what they're doing, and we don't see what's going on behind closed doors. But from where I'm sitting and from the investigative work that we have done, because we have covered this a lot, it doesn't look like they're doing anything to necessarily protect these U.S. victims. And at least one of the victims has been doxxed online, and doxing is the act of having your personal information revealed. And they this is happening to these women who were already allegedly victimized repeatedly by Andrew Tate and his brother. They're now being harassed by the followers, by the sort of cadre of toxic masculinity that has followed Andrew Tate around for years. They're now getting together and essentially trolling and bullying these victims. And certainly we, from our perspective, have tried everything we can to protect their identities when we're reporting on this. But you can't stop these men who are in this pay-for-play group where they're given access to this information. And the things Andrew Tate has said to these women in these messages, these alleged horrific things that you just read, they don't surprise me and they don't shock me, because what he said publicly isn't much better. That's the type of person he is. He created this multi-million dollar business off of bullying women. So the fact that his followers are now bullying the victims and the fact that these are the things that he said aren't surprising. I feel like we should have gone after the Andrew Tates of the world when they were just saying these things, and maybe we wouldn't have gotten to this point. I mean, you don't want to stop someone.
Many of these women, apparently, Caitlin, are promised love and marriage, and then they are transported, many of them, to Romania, where they are gang raped, sex exploited, and subjected to physical violence. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of reported violence. To Lee Reber, a forensic expert, CEO of Oxygen Forensics, author of Mobile Forensics Investigations and podcast Forensic Happy Hour, and you can find him at oxygenforensic.com. Lee, how can the U.S. get involved, since apparently the other countries are spineless? Hey, but at least Romania got an indictment. We've done nothing. Even Romania is doing a better job than we are.
Yeah, I think it might come down to what they don't want to find. But it's relatively easy, to extract that entire channel. To note, that Telegram channel is still open as of today. To note, yesterday, September 6th, they had 939 people subscribed. And today, looking at that channel, there's 947 people subscribed. So quite interesting that one is still open. However, federal law enforcement would be able to, seize that channel, really, and begin the investigation by collecting the digital data. However, using Telegram, you can have your messages delete after, 3 days, 1 day immediately after being read. And that makes it difficult as well. It also makes it difficult the jurisdiction, being Telegram is a Russian owned company, and communication is done there. You now have that issue with trying to obtain it. However, there are various means to collect information from any cloud service having specific information. And it seems as though the release of the 12,000 pages, that they either have someone on the inside that can give them access and give them credentials to be able to collect that data.
One victim reports a Tate coworker, a henchman, threatens to, quote, break her teeth, that she would end up in the morgue. The women creating porn for Tate's brother's webcam business allege their income is controlled by the Tates. They are fined or punished if they start crying during a sex act, if they wipe their nose, if they take too long on a break. One victim claims she was told she was loved and promised marriage, then was coerced into having group sex. She refused. It just goes on and on and on. Cheryl McCollum, I'm deeply disappointed the feds have not acted on behalf of the U.S. victims at the very least.
I'm really shocked the IRS isn't involved. I mean, they can get in without invitation.
Oh, gosh, that's a good idea, Cheryl McCollum. I mean, when the feds can't get you, the IRS can, which is a note to all regarding tax season. Go ahead.
But, we've got the electronic means. We've got live victims. We've got patterns of abuse. We've got social media videos. He's not hiding. Plus, we have the money trail. So there's about 8 different ways to go with this person to shut the whole thing down. And, you know, that includes people that have used debit cards and credit cards to join this membership. To me, let's pull the whole file. Let's start reaching out to these people saying, hey, we know who you are.
Hey, I forgot to tell you something, Cheryl McCollum. Andrew Tate is now suing his accusers in the human trafficking case, including a Florida woman. This is another tool in his arsenal to sue the women that are accusing them, that are accusing the Tates, the Tate brothers, and all of his hench people. For somebody that doesn't understand the legal system, Greg Ahlgren, that's a huge threat to get a lawsuit filed against you. And you think you're going to lose the little bit you've saved, your car, your house, everything you've saved for your children?
So, yeah, that's a major threat. Again, we have to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. The U.S. and Romania have a mutual legal assistance treaty, but, you know, maybe the larger context here is influencing. Romania is a NATO member, you know, so perhaps on the government-to-government level, you know.
Did you really just say NATO member when women are getting raped right now?
It's terrible, but I mean, maybe that explains the inaction on the part, the apparent inaction on the part of U.S. law enforcement.
Okay, let me just say, Andrew Tate and his brothers and all the defendants have insisted that they are innocent and have not done anything wrong. Some of them say they're being targeted because they're so wildly popular and profitable that it's really, I guess we're all just jealous that that's why we're going after them. They all say they're innocent. They have not been proven guilty in a court of law. And under our Constitution, they are presumed innocent until proven otherwise in court. We wait as justice unfolds. Tick tock. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.